Get your Bibles, turn to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Brother Barnes, can you give me just a hair more volume? Job chapter 1. We're going to read verses 9 through 12 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Then I'm going to read one other verse in the book of Job to you. And then I'll pray. The choir will come and sing. And then I'm going to come back and preach. Boy, we got through announcements fast. I can't promise you to get out as early as you did last week, but maybe I can just preach longer. All right, Job chapter 1, we're going to read verses 9 through 12 together. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. I'm going to read Job chapter 2, verse number 3. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause?" And let's pray. Father, we need you this morning. Holy Spirit of God, help me as I preach. May the truth of today be extra sweet and extra special to your people. Lord, each and every person in this room, if they don't need it today, they're going to need it very, very soon. And I pray that you'd help us in a special way, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Job chapter 1, the story of Job is a very interesting one. Job is a very successful, very wealthy man, and has faced unbelievable problems here. In Job chapter 1, you find out that Job loses all of his businesses. He had several farming-type businesses. He loses all 10 of his children to death, and he loses the loyalty of his wife. Chapter 2, we find out that he loses his health. And here he is. He goes from the wealthiest man in the world to a man that has literally nothing. Chapter 2, you find him sitting in the, basically, the junkyard, sitting in a pile of ashes, scraping the boils on his skin with a clay pot that he had broken out of the trash heap. So he went from everything to nothing. Then he has three friends that come and try to comfort him. And in the process, they try to comfort him, but discourage him, judge him, start talking down to him and everything else. And the Bible says that by the end of Job's life, God gave back to Job in the end of his life twice as much as he had before he lost it all. Yep. Now, here's the interesting thing. He had double the sheep. He had double the camels. He had double the oxen. He had double everything, except he ended up with only 10 more children instead of 20 more children. That was judgment on his wife for criticizing her husband. Amen. Do you like to end up with 20 kids, ladies? But you say, why didn't he end up with 20 children? Because those other 10 children were already in heaven. Yep. Yes, sir. He did have double. And God did that for him. Now, we know a little of the story. Many know a lot of the story. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but for the part of the story that's often missed and not usually stated is what I want to talk about today. We know that Satan did all of this. We know that Satan went to God and said, "Look, I want to prove to you that your children don't just follow you because they're supposed to do it, that it's only because you bless them that they do this." And here's the part that we don't usually see. God recommended Job. He said in Job chapter 1, verse number 8, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Satan comes to God and says, look, I want to show you this. And God came to Satan and said, hey, dude, why don't you go after my servant Job? There's not a better man on the face of the earth. He won't do what you say he's going to do.
Wow.
So Satan comes back and puts Job through all this. Then he goes back in chapter 2. We read in verse number 3. And Satan said, look, skin for skin, all that man hath, he'll give everything up to save his own life. And he said, go ahead, you can touch Job, just don't take his life. That's where he loses his health. I want you to notice, the Bible says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Here's the point that I want you to get. Do you realize that God allowed all of these problems to come to Job? I hear regularly as a pastor, preacher, why all of the problems? Why do I have problems? Why is it that the problems keep coming? If God loved Job so much, why did he allow the problems? Now, hang on. Let me say right here, not every problem you face in life is from God. Some problems we have in life, we've created ourselves. Can I tell you something? I sat at the table yesterday with those three folks right there, and I looked at them and I said, we're all sinners. Part of life is death, since we're all sinners. God made us to live forever, but we sinned. Therefore, we struggle because of our sin. Not every problem you have did God actually give you. You see, some of them we create and we have the effects of sowing and reaping. When you spend more than you have, God wasn't the problem. You know, it's amazing. We can go $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 in debt and say, okay, God, you take care of the mess I got myself into, and I don't understand why God's not helping me. Well, God didn't tell you to go that far in debt. I'm not saying debt is bad, but if you can't pay it back and you're still got it, it's not good. When you live in sin, you're going to pay the price. It's not God's fault. And I don't know how else to say this, but you start shacking up and then you end up with a baby out of wedlock. That wasn't God's fault. You didn't obey him. Don't get mad at God because of your sin. Now, Job was a good man, a successful man, who honestly was trying to serve God. And by the way, God was not judging Job. God did not allow these problems on Job to judge him for his sin. Struggle, opposition, resistance, and adversity make you stronger, not weaker. We have such a sissified culture today because now people don't want any struggle. Listen to me very carefully. We are, and for generations, we have been sissifying our children. Oh, we don't ever want a child to struggle. No child should ever have any problem in their life. And we wonder why kids today are weak and whiny babies. We don't want to keep points in a baseball or a football game, because if one team wins and the other team loses, the team that loses will cry, and that's not healthy for a child to lose. We don't want to teach them that anybody's a loser, that everybody's a winner. Gag. Amen. Every boy in the world needs to get up in a ball game in the bottom of the last inning with the bases loaded, one run behind, and strike out and lose the game and feel like dirt. We don't want to keep grades in school. The public schools are now going to a gradeless society. Now everything's done on a number basis, and that's why they keep pushing people through that can't read and write. No wonder colleges had to have hot chocolate and cry rooms when Hillary lost. Just had to put that one in there. University of Michigan. No wonder we would rather protest than work. We have generation after generation with no struggle. Listen to me very carefully. And I'm not angry with anybody here. I'm just going to give you facts. People who fought in World War II came back and had children and said, we never want our children to go through what we went through, and we took the struggle away from our children. Do you know who the revolutionaries and the anarchists and the protesters of the 1960s were? The children of World War II.
Yep,
the rock and roll generation, the rebellious generation, came because there was no struggle. Everybody doing okay? The urbanization and the liberalization of the world has softened our society. Kids used to do chores before they left for school in the morning, came home and did chores, and then did their homework. Now, we have to make sure that they get 10 hours of sleep, and we can't get them to school too early because they're not going to be able to think if they don't have a good enough night's rest. Bless God, if we'd keep them working at home, they'd be too tired to stay up too late watching TV at night.
Amen.
You see, you don't realize this, but the public school, do you ever wonder why there's such a thing called summer break?
Yep.
When they started in America with public schools, they had a 7 to 8 month a year school year, and it was around planting season and harvest season. And you had the summer off to work the fields. That's why there's a 3 month break in the summer.
Yes.
They also had one in the fall for a couple weeks during harvest, and one in the spring for a couple weeks during the planting season. And that's where you had spring break. And that's where you had a fall break as well, because of planting and harvesting. And in the summer, you were working the fields.
Amen.
That's why you don't go to school year round. Everybody doing okay? By the way, do your homework on real history and you'll find that out. You see, my parents' generation, when they had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go out and milk the cows and slop the hogs and do the chores and then come back in, grab breakfast and grab their books and run to school.
Yep.
By the way, they didn't have school buses. They walked to school.
Amen.
Now, hang on here for a second. I'm fixing to really nail it here. If my parents would have said to my grandparents, oh, this isn't fair, we have to do all this work. Do you know what my grandparents would have said? Such is life.
Yep.
Such is life. This wimpy generation has no idea how to cope with reality because they don't face struggle and problems now. They face no problems, and we wonder why they're weak and wimpy. If mommy and daddy fix all of a child's problems, the child's going to remain weak. Let them struggle.
Amen.
I think you ought to give children, even small children, jobs too big for them to do, but they need to learn how to struggle.
Amen.
Mommy and daddy shouldn't be directing everything and doing everything for them. I was meeting with some engineers this week, and I told them our young people were going to go to a youth conference, and some of our folks donated money for them to be able to go. And they said, oh, isn't that wonderful? I said, yeah. I said, I got them out at the church property picking up trash. I said, that big pile of trash out there is because a bunch of young people, I believe in making them work for what they get and not just handing it to them. They ought to work. Did you know we're supposed to work? My Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. I can show you how to solve welfare. Don't work, you don't eat. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of personally believe it ought to be that way every day. If you don't work, you don't eat. I'm about to get in trouble, aren't I? Job was already strong because he had become successful. Job learned to carry a heavy load. I love watching the press try to criticize President Trump right now.
Amen.
I may not agree with everything the man says or how he says it, but I'll tell you one thing, the man does know how to work.
Amen.
He's put the word work back into D.C. Man, I love that. The press is all twisted in a knot because they can't stay awake as long as he can.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we'll go that route later. Job was already strong because he had become very successful. But God wanted Job stronger. Listen to that statement. God wanted Job stronger so that he could become more successful. And the only way to become stronger is to face more problems. If you went to Job chapter 42, verses 12 through 13, we won't go there. God tells us God gave Job back twice as much as he had before. I meet people all the time angry or upset with God because they have problems. Here's the problem. They only see the problem and not the strength they're getting by their problem.
Amen.
I've been on a war with myself, trying to get rid of the battle of the bulge in the middle, amen? I decided I was going to get in a shape other than round. It's not fun. A couple years ago, my wife and I bought this torture machine called an elliptical. You all know what I'm talking about. It's like a stand-up bicycle with arms that move and the legs. Well, I've got this little computer program. You pop in there, and this woman tortures me the whole time I'm on that thing, 30 minutes a day. Let me tell you, every once in a while, this person comes on and says, "Do you hate me yet?" My wife hears me say every time, "Yes." Oh, man, I hate it. Do you know the only way for me to get stronger is to face the resistance of that 5-6 days a week? The only way for me to be strong enough to get rid of the bulge that I have and wear it down is to put myself through opposition. Now, listen to me very carefully. Did you know the more I do it, the stronger I get? The more I do it, the stronger my heart is. The more I do it, the better my cardio is and my breath is. Because I have to go on an elk hunt this fall, and at 7,000, 8,000 feet in the altitude, I'm not going to have a heart attack on the side of a mountain. I've decided that. And I'm just needing to stay in good health. I've lost about 13 pounds. I have that many more to go. But I'm on a reduction program. I'm dropping weight. I'm hoping the rest of it falls out my feet. It sure would be a whole lot easier. But God doesn't try to destroy you. You need opposition to become stronger. God is not trying to judge you. God is not trying to hurt you by allowing problems to come to your life. He's trying to make you stronger, not weaker.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to make a statement here. If you missed the whole sermon, get this. God wants you stronger, but the devil wants you weaker.
Yes, sir.
If we get strength by opposition, that means the devil's going to try to keep all opposition away from you. The devil doesn't want you stronger, he wants you weaker. Now, God used the devil to make Job stronger. The devil thought he was going to destroy Job. He didn't realize he was a wrench in the hand of God to make Job a stronger man and a stronger Christian.
Amen.
I know that stupid woman on this elliptical machine doesn't hate me. They're actually trying to make me stronger.
Yes.
Matter of fact, I don't know the person personally. There's no way she could hate me. But I can hate her. Or I can decide I'm going to get through this. And the reason I did it is so I did it in a healthy way. Not just get up and do whatever I thought was best. Now, I want to talk to you today about this problem. About this thought, why all of the problems? Number one, and listen to me, man's natural reaction to problems is to eliminate them all. Our natural reaction to problems is to run away. Man's natural reaction is to get away from a problem like an animal does. I do some hunting, and it's amazing if you ever watch a deer. Deer are very cautious for the most part. Amen, Brother Larry? And you watch a deer come up, and they're always sniffing the air.
They've got good hearing. They don't see real well, but they hear real well, and they smell real well. They got a nose like a beagle. A deer will come into somewhere, and they just every so often they pick their head up, and you see their ears, and their ears will go every which way because they're listening. And then you see them, they got their nose up in the air, and boy, if something's not quite right, especially if it's a doe, and she's got little ones with her, and she senses something's not right, she'll just stop. And then they pick their one foot up, and they just start. And when you see that foot going, you know you've been busted. And if them babies aren't real close, right before she turns and runs back to where she came from, she's going to blow. That means, follow me. We're getting out of here. If you ever heard that, you might as well get down out of your tree. Because they ain't coming back for a while. Now, hopefully, others will come in there from a different direction, but you know those aren't coming back. Or they'll circle and go downwind and see if they can figure out something. If they hear, if you've ever been bow hunting and you don't have the right equipment, when I used to use aluminum shaft arrows and you use a different kind of rest than I have now, you could pull your bow back and you could actually hear the arrow go up the... Did you ever have one of those, Brother Larry? That's enough to make a hunter want to curse. You can just hear that arrow go like that, and they can hear it from 50 yards away. You can barely hear it, but they hear it. And it's like, good night. How did they hear that? But their hearing is that good. And they turn and run. We react to problems the same way an animal does when we're in our flesh. Man's flesh, because we act in our flesh and not our spirit, when we face a problem, we're just like an animal. Boom! We want to get out of there. You see, we have the idea that problems are not God's will. But God sometimes adds problems as his will to make us stronger to do his will. Job was not disobedient because he had problems. He was getting stronger because of the problems, and God wanted him to do more than Job thought he could do. Job had problems added by God, and it was all part of God's will. Job had financial loss. Job faced the death of his children, all 10 of them. Job faced the death of many of his employees in the destruction of his financial kingdom. Job lost the trust of his family and his friends. Job lost his health. Job lost his success, and yet God allowed all of that so Job would be a stronger Christian. Most people thought Job was out of God's will. If you read the middle portions of the book of Job, you find out his three friends criticized him for being out of God's will. Yes, sir. Oh, you're having all those problems. Who do you think you are, God? God must be judging you. You must be a pretty bad sinner. Sound familiar? Job was actually in God's will, becoming stronger by these problems. I hear people say all the time, well, as long as God keeps opening the door, it must be okay. As long as everything's going fine, I hate to tell you something. Usually, if you're going to do God's will, you're going to face headwinds, not tailwinds. You're going to fight all of hell to do God's will. It's not going to go easy. Try going soul winning. Knock on 10 doors and find out how many people aren't glad you're there. try doing God's will. Try starting a church. You'll find out how much people hate you and how much the devil hates you. You see, problems are not necessarily God's judgment for wrong. That's how man views life through his own eyes. When I hear people say, oh, Brother June's going through a problem. God must be judging Brother June. Can I tell you something? That's because that's what we would do as people in our flesh. Did you catch that? In our flesh, we would judge somebody and say, I'll inflict problems on him because I think he's doing wrong. God doesn't do that. God doesn't sit in heaven and look down and say, there's Mike Schenenberger. What a dirty old rascal of a sinner. What a creature. I'm going to put problems on him. He stepped out of line, and man, I'm going to beat him over the head constantly because of that. I don't believe God does that. God loves me. God doesn't do it that way. When I made my children learn how to work, and from a small, very tiny children, 2 years old or so, my wife would teach them to help with the laundry. They would put their laundry in the basket and drag the basket as far as they could drag it. Sometimes I was dragging the other end of it. I was carrying 90% of it, but eventually they got strong enough to carry it all. Or from the upstairs, they could put it on the edge of the steps and stand in front of it and go downstairs, and hopefully the basket didn't weigh more than them and on the way down. And there was a few times it did happen. They sat at the bottom. I said, grab the basket and go the rest of the way down. Say, why? Because that's how you learn to get through that. If it's too heavy, sit on the backside and you run down thump, 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 behind it. Amen. Slow it down. Now, wait a minute. We need problems to make us stronger so we can be more successful. Why is it that we want to run away from them? Can I tell you something? Some of us Christians forfeit greater blessings because we run away from the problems instead of going through the problem. And God can't give us more because we ran away from it and didn't get strong enough to get what he had for us on the other side. Wonder how many wonderful things we have forfeited in our lives because we run away from our problems instead of hanging in there and getting through it. Don't you judge somebody else because they had a flat tire. God wasn't judging them. Did you know lost people get flat tires too? The devil doesn't hate you so much that he stuck a nail in your tire. Man, we try to spiritualize everything. We think life is so complicated and it's all about me. Can I tell you something? How many of you have ever faced a flat tire in your life? Raise your hand. Guess what? I don't think God and the devil hated you all that much. Now, we have to understand, man's natural reaction, when we react in the flesh, we try to run away from the problems. Number two, you can put yourself through your own struggle to make yourself stronger so that God doesn't have to. Listen to that statement again. You can put yourself through your own struggle to make yourself stronger so God doesn't have to as much. I decided I was going to put myself on a struggle on that stupid elliptical machine. Say why? That way I was strong enough to carry the load of this church. There's a lot coming down. I plan on being as strong as I can for as long as I can. I'll keep myself in as good of health as I can so I can carry the heaviest of loads I can carry for as long as I can carry it. See, I decided to put that struggle on myself. You say, well, are you lifting weights? Every time I get up, it's weight, amen? No, I'm not necessarily lifting weights, but I'm adding to it, putting myself through struggle so I can make myself stronger so that I can carry a heavier load. You see, I can add to my spiritual loads in life and make myself stronger spiritually. Let me show you what I mean. Did you know you can read the Bible on yourself other than at church? Amen. I really believe we ought to read it every day. And we can put ourselves through reading the Bible daily and say, well, I do read it every day, preacher. Good for you. Now let's do this. Let's add to it and read a little bit more. Amen. Let's read a little bit more. Let's add to our load so that we have the ability to become stronger spiritually. Did you know that you can pray more than, Lord, bless the food of my body? I believe we ought to try to increase our ability to pray. And by the way, whoever said it's wrong for you to pray for about yourself is a liar. Amen. Prayer was initiated for between you and God about your problems you face.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay? Well, I'll pray for everybody else, but I'm not going to pray about my own problems. You're stupid.
Amen.
Sorry. Man, if you got the person that has the answer to your problems and you fail to ask him, that is a lack of wisdom.
Yes, sir.
That's like saying, I need help from the doctor, but because I'm sick, I'm not going to go to the doctor. I'll wait till I'm better and go to the doctor. That sounds like a man. You know, we don't go to the doctor because we're well. We go because we're not feeling well. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Did you know you get stronger as a Christian by reading your Bible? You get stronger as a Christian by praying? Did you know you get stronger as a Christian by going soul winning? Do you know that if you get up and invite somebody to church, you're getting stronger as a Christian? I was with Brother Fred the other day, and he had an in-home health nurse there. We're going to get that lady in church. She was asking about church. I gave her track. We were talking to her. I think she'll end up being at church soon. But at the same time, an 80-year-old man carrying oxygen around, been out soul winning and knocking on doors for the last 3 weeks, and they had somebody saved yesterday. That's enough to make a Methodist want to shout, amen? Hang on here. Do you know what? That makes you stronger. I really believe Fred's health has increased because he's made himself stronger by facing the struggle of coming to church. By facing the struggles, and sometimes he's been in the hospital, but he's passed out more gospel tracts than most everybody in this church. Anytime he's in the hospital, I know to go with a stack of tracts so he can hand them out. Now hang in there. Did you know the more you help people, the stronger you get? I love it. You see, hang on, about to get real personal. Did you know the more church services you attend, the more we load on you, the better your life will be and the more you can become successful? That's why I believe every Christian ought to be in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church, if at all possible. Amen. Say why? Because you need to face that struggle, getting rid of your selfish pride of whatever else you want to do. I know churches that shut down on Super Bowl weekend to show a football game at church instead of having preaching, and shame on them. Yes, sir. By the way, men, thanks for fixing my pulpit. Dad'll be back in 10 days. Praise the Lord. I really believe you make yourself stronger by adding to the load, even your schedule load, of being at church. Can I tell you something? The more you're here, the more you learn, the stronger you get, the bigger the load you can carry. Amen. The devil does not want you strong, so he's going to try to do everything he can to keep you from carrying a bigger spiritual load. Listen to this statement. You don't need to go to church Sunday night, too, or Wednesday night. That's the devil, not God. Amen. You don't need Sunday school. That's for kids. No, it's for everybody. Amen. You see, we want to lighten the load, not add to the load. Psychologists say, well, you're just so stressed. You need to ease your load. Can I tell you the best thing to do when you have a heavy load? Stay in schedule. Amen. Carry your load. If Brother Wiley went to the psychologist right now, they would say, oh, you need to take 2 weeks off of work. And you need not to go to church. You need to stay home and mourn and grieve for your mom as she's, you've lost your mom. As I told him yesterday, we didn't lose her. We know where she's at. Amen. We might not be able to get to her, Brother Roy, but we know where she's at. We didn't lose her. She may have quit breathing here, but she didn't quit breathing in heaven. Can I tell you something? The psychologists say you need to stop everything and just sit there and rest a while. And we wonder why everybody's freaked out and depressed all the time. The prosperity gospel. Oh, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. Those people are of the devil, not of God. Any quote-unquote preacher that says that is not from God. They're from the devil. Because God said, I'm going to add to your load, not take away from the load, so that you're strong enough to be a better Christian. We want to protect our children from all problems. My Bible says in Lamentations 3:27, it's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Yes, I believe young people ought to have a good work ethic. Amen. I believe children ought to have a good work ethic. I'm Now, I don't believe a 3-year-old carries the same load as a 30-year-old. I don't even believe that a 3-year-old carries the same load as a 13-year-old, even though there's not much difference.
Amen.
Only in size. But I will say this. We wouldn't have the generation we have if we taught our children how to work. I believe we ought to work. I believe we ought to work hard. I believe we ought to bear the load in our youth. I'm glad when I was a teenager, I had a dad that taught me how to work long before I was a teenager. I'm glad when I was a junior in high school, I worked 30 hours a week in a restaurant. I was a bus captain. I went soul winning every week. I was at virtually every youth activity. I played on 3 baseball and softball teams every summer. And I carried an A-minus, B-plus average in school. Not because I'm so intelligent, as you already know. But I learned how to work. I also had to take care of the grass at home, trimming. Had to help mom and dad with the garden. You name it. Man, there's many nights I learned how to carry a heavy load from early years. I'm glad by the time I got to college, college really wasn't a whole lot harder than high school for me because I was already in that rhythm. It really wasn't much different for me. I added about 20 hours a week with work and travel, but I didn't have quite as many hours a week in school. It pretty well balanced out. I was ready for it. I've been working these ridiculous hours since I was about 16 years old. You know, after almost 34 years of doing this, it's just natural for me. It's not hard for me. You say, why? Because I learned how to work in my youth. Teach your young people to work. Let's all learn how to carry the load. Part of carrying the load's failing. Part of becoming a good worker is learning how to fail and going back and doing it over again. Now, when you had a dad like I had, he would make this statement, you can do it my way or the wrong way. Which way are you going to do it? You can do it my way or do it over. I remember many a time I had to mow the yard twice because I didn't get it done quite the way he thought it should be done. Try that one once. Man, it's 100 degrees outside and you whip through getting the yard mowed, but it wasn't done right. Well, I just missed a few spots. Good, go back out and mow the whole thing again. Ooh. Dad didn't say just hit those high spots. Say why? Because he wanted me to learn. If you're going to do it right the first time.
Amen.
My wife will tell you, I'm meticulous when it comes to mowing. I got to have it done and done right. It bothers me. My boys, man, they'd be out there and I'd, you missed a spot. Man, they hated it. Now they understand it. Their bosses now tell them the same things, but they learned it and say, my dad used to do that. I know where I'm headed with this. So, number one, man's natural reaction to problems is to eliminate it. Number two, you can put yourself through your own struggle to make yourself stronger. Number three, God allows pressure and opposition to make you stronger. Look at Job 1:8. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Look at Job chapter 2, verse number 3. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Notice it wasn't Satan going to God saying, there's Brother Stoltz. Let me take him and shake him real good and hard. He won't serve you. No, it was God. And the devil came, the devil came and said, hast thou considered Job? He can take it. I put him through enough. He'll take it. And he'll come out stronger because of it. It wasn't the devil that brought it. It was God. Now listen to this. Psalm 105 verse number 24 says, God made them stronger. God made them stronger. Let me turn to Psalm 105:24. I want to read this verse. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I shouted this week. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Can I tell you how you get stronger than your enemies? You face your enemies. You face the battle. You don't run away and hide. God said he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Did you know he made them stronger? That's a process. Do you know the first day I jumped on that stupid elliptical, I thought I was going to die of a heart attack? My old heart was going... Man, I had zero resistance on it. I mean, I was just 30 minutes and I thought, Lord, have mercy. I did over 2.3 miles on the thing yesterday in 30 minutes. That's 4.5 miles an hour. It was over 4,000 steps jogging. Let me tell you something, my resistance was up to 3. By the time I got done, I was breathing hard, but not like I was before. I was actually feeling pretty good. Sweaty as all get out, but I was feeling pretty good. I jumped off of it the first time when I had a pretty tough one, and my heart rate was like 165. That's racing pretty good. Jumped off of it yesterday, my heart rate was 130. I said, we're getting stronger. We're getting stronger. The heart's not working as hard. Now, man, I was flying. I mean, I was about ready to give up the towel a couple times. I was ready to pull the plug on her. I said, I got to do it. I got to do it. I got to do it. And I don't have a hunt in mind. I have my church in mind. I want to be strong enough to carry the load. And I kept saying, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. I got to do this for my people. If I wouldn't have been so characterless and shoved so much down the pie hole, I wouldn't be in this shape. Lord, help me. Now I'm poking the pie hole a little more carefully, watching what I eat. I watched what I ate before, but I was just watching it go in, not how much. Wait a minute. A wise man once said, pressure doesn't crack you, it just reveals the cracks that are already there. You know, if you put enough pressure to that cup right there, it'll break. But it won't break because it's cracked. It'll reveal where the weaknesses in it are. That pressure only reveals, though you don't see the weakness, pressure reveals the weakness. We need to not react in the flesh to problems by running away or avoiding them. We need to decide we're going to take those problems as God's will. Amen. Can I tell you something? When the hard times come, don't run away. Carry the load. Yep. When you face those hard times as a Christian, don't run away. Learn to carry the load. Get stronger. Don't run away. God wants us to bear the load to make us stronger. He doesn't give you the load to destroy you. I'm about to have a spell. You ready? No load equals no strength. No load equals no strength. God does not put more on you than you can carry. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Bible says, man, I'm about ready to shout. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says in verse number 13, are you ready? There hath no temptation, trial, opposition, taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He didn't say that you may be able to run away from it or to avoid it. He said that you may be able to bear it, to carry it. God's going to bring things in your life. Guess what? You can take it. Amen. Well, it's just so hard, preacher. God didn't say it wouldn't be hard, but when you get through those hard things, God has great things on the other side of it for you. Amen. You think I've enjoyed every heartache I've had to carry in life? Think I've enjoyed every problem I've had to deal with in life? Good night. If you spent 1 week taking the phone calls I take and counseling the people I take, it's more grief than most of you see in 20 years. I've dealt with situation after situation after situation, and some things unbelievable just in the last 7 days. By the way, I don't go home and unload them on my wife. Say why? She's there to encourage me. Why would I tell her all the bad things I had to go through? See, I know you don't believe this, but if you tell me something negative or something bad that's happened to you, I don't tell my wife. You say, why? If I tell her, she's going to get discouraged, then who's going to encourage me?
Right.
I'm going home and say, man, it was a really bad day at the office today. She doesn't know things before you know it. Every once in a while, she knows of your heartache earlier because I'm not there. Or, see you later, I got to go help somebody. They're in the hospital. Or, I got to go help do this. Or, I got to go do this and help this person. But she doesn't know the specifics necessarily. Say why? That's my load to carry, not hers. It's amazing how we go home and depress each other about our jobs. Can I tell you something? Be careful how much you ask each other about your work day. You can cause yourself to fuss and feud over your work days. Everybody doing all right? We get into this comparison. My problem's got to be bigger than your problem or I'm not happy. God says he gives to every person problems, gives us the ability to carry that problem, and he doesn't want us running away from it. He wants us carrying that problem. Listen to me very carefully. Depression is this. Depression is sitting there thinking about your problem and not doing something about the answer. Depression is sitting there thinking about what you don't have instead of carrying what you do have, getting stronger to be able to prevent it or be able to get through it. Depression and disparity and despondency come because we want to sit there and have a self-pity party instead of taking what God gives us and going forward with it. It's not a lack of feeling. I can't tell you how many buckets of tears I've cried in the last several months. I weep. I mourn. I hurt. But may I say this? I've learned how to control those and do them at the times when appropriate, but not fall apart while I need to carry the load. Brother Wiley called me Thursday morning. Preacher, pray for Mom. She collapsed at home. Dad had to call the EMS. And I said, where's she going? And, well, she's on her way now. I really didn't need to go to the ER if she had collapsed. They were going to be doing a lot of procedures. I said, Brother Wiley, keep me posted. I'll go early this afternoon, just a few hours. Let them get her settled a little bit because me walking in then isn't going to be real productive. A couple hours later, I saw Wiley was calling me and I picked up the phone and I heard his tears. He didn't have to speak. I knew what happened. Oh, my heart was crushed. Brother Wiley, what you need? Through his tears, he told me Mama was in heaven. He said, I'm on the road. He was clear on the other side of West Virginia. Wasn't going to be back till the next day. He said, of course, Mung's at work, and I can't get a hold of her because she doesn't keep her phone with her when she's working like she's supposed to. He said, I need you to go tell Mung, and I got to have her get a hold of the doctors at the hospital, and we got to start the process here. I had 50 minutes to go to Walmart, see Mung, talk her through it, and be back at a bank meeting. I was talking to Brother Wiley, putting my coat on. I had him on voice thing, speakerphone, and I'm writing numbers down, running down the steps. Say, why? I got to Walmart and saw Mung working at the end of an aisle there. She looked at me, Preacher, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I got to tell you some bad news. She said, yeah, Wiley told me that his mom was in the hospital. I said, no, it's worse than that. She looked at me and I had to tell her that Miss Adelia was in heaven. I said, now, I need you to find one of your supervisors and you're going to have to make a few phone calls and happened to be she was working right beside her supervisor, and I didn't know it. She said, well, I'm her supervisor. I said, oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry. She said, nope, heard every word. She said, Mung, go clock out. You're done. She said, it's okay. She went and got her things and came back, and I talked Mung through each step of this. jumped back in my car, ran back to the bank, sat down with a banker, told Mung when she was done to call me and I would get back with her. We started working through all this. Can I tell you something? Brother Wiley, I cried on the way to Walmart. Miss Mung, I cried after Walmart. I had to dry my eyes to walk into a bank. Fella looked at me and he said, "You okay?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "My phone may buzz." I said, "I may look at it, but I'm not going to answer it unless it's a quick text." I said, "I just had a family in my church. They just lost a family member." He said, "Oh, my soul." He said, "Do we need to cancel the meeting?" I said, "No, sir, it's okay." He said, "I'm so sorry." He said, "I just lost my dad 2 weeks ago." I said, "Well, I had to go tell one where they work and the other one's out of town." And he said, "Oh, my soul." He said, "You sure?" He said, "We can reschedule." I said, "It's okay." Boy, his heart was touched. He said, "I'm glad they have a pastor." He said, "I didn't have a pastor to help me." I said, "Well, if you come to my church, I'll help you." Amen. Now, wait a minute. We get all depressed. We get all discouraged because we look at our problem and we don't look at the blessing of it. Can I tell you something? That's why God gave us the promise of heaven. So when death does come, we have something to look forward to. God wants you strong enough for the success he has for you later. Some of you are going to be very successful because of all the struggle you're going through. But some of us are, I don't mean this the wrong way, some of us fail because we try to run away from the problem instead of carrying the load. You may see no way possible for success. Do you think Job actually saw potential for becoming more successful after he lost all of his businesses? He lost his health, lost the loyalty of his wife, lost his health, lost his employees, many of them to death. Do you think he saw any way possible he would ever be successful again? Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And God said, "Told you he could carry it." I don't think Job was real happy as he went through it, saying, "Praise God, look at all my problems." Matter of fact, he looked at his friends and said, "Miserable comforters are ye all." He said, "Y'all aren't helping me at all right now." But he got through it. He didn't see ever becoming successful again, but God made him twice as successful. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter what load you're carrying. Carry it. You'll get stronger. In the process of carrying it, it automatically makes you stronger. And as you get stronger, you get more successful. God may push you to your maximum load, but that's so you can carry a bigger load. Say, "Preacher, I couldn't carry the load you carry." God didn't intend you to. God intended me to. That's my job. I'm not asking you to carry my load. I'm just asking you to carry the load God gave you. And as the load keeps getting added, don't run away. Keep carrying the load. Keep carrying the load. That's what God intended. Remember, God gave those problems. God allowed those problems. Job wasn't out of God's will. He was in God's will. Job wasn't weak, he was becoming stronger. At 10 minutes into my workout yesterday, I've done the same workout 3 days in a row. I finished it 3 days ago. But my daughter had called, and before she was done yapping her jaws on the stupid machine, I pulled the card out, and it didn't register as though I did it. That was not a healthy time. So the next day I got on there right after I got done eating and got 10 minutes into it and thought I was going to not be able to keep my dinner. So I got off. I had to go through that stupid thing 3 times. I got done yesterday. I made sure it did all of its beeping that it was supposed to do and pulled that card and said, "I got you. I got you. I whooped it. I'm not looking forward to tomorrow, let me tell you. Sunday's my day off. But I'm not looking forward to what the next one is, because that one was bad enough." Can I tell you something? But when I get done with it, I'm going to say, I whipped it. Amen. Say why? Because it's making me stronger, making me healthier, making me better than I thought I could be before. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon today was a truth I needed? I needed something in that sermon today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, hands up everywhere. Who would say, you can put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Who would say, preacher, you can put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die, but I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the music will begin to play. When the music begins to play, if you raised your hand, either stay where you're at on your knees or come as far forward as you can. Why don't we tell God we're going to carry the load, not run from the load.